parents had to be diligent in training the children in the Lord's ways. And what a benefit of a covenant community. What a benefit of a church. What a benefit of catechism classes and teachers and all this blessing. Teach them when you sit in your house. Family worship was important in Israel. We tend to think that worship only occurs when we come together in church. Do we ever sing outside of church? Make melody in your hearts, one to another. Bless one another, says Ephesians. You know, you can do that for your children. God wanted this to occur in the family.
Boy, didn't he ever. Welcome to Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon, who turns our attention to commandment number 5, honor your father and mother. And this one comes with a promise, unlike the other 9. Welcome to Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon. We invite you to join us here today as we focus in on this 5th commandment. Here's Chris.
So this is Deuteronomy 21, beginning at verse 18. If a man has a stubborn and rebellious son who will not obey the voice of his father or the voice of his mother, and though they discipline him, will not listen to them, then his father and his mother shall take hold of him and bring him out to the elders of the city at the gate of the place where he lives. And they shall say to the elders of the city, this is our son. This our son is stubborn and rebellious. He will not obey our voice. He is a glutton and a drunkard. Then all the men of the city shall stone him to death with stones. So you shall purge the evil from your midst. And all Israel shall hear and fear. And there ends the reading of God's word. Well, that's quite a psalm that we sung out here a moment ago. I remember when we were in the thick of our children being young and all the problems that come with that, I would pick that psalm and Darcy would come home and she would say to me, I'm having a hard time singing that psalm. Joyful children, son and daughter, shall about your table meet. Nothing feels very joyful about our table right now. These are the challenges with, and I felt the same way, these are the challenges with raising children and the challenges that we face, that sometimes this great truth of all the blessing that we enjoy as we're going through the struggles of raising children doesn't always go so smoothly, does it? It's not always so easy, is it? And that's what I want to consider with you tonight is the heart of this commandment, what the Lord is commanding, what he is teaching us and instructing us in. I read a book not too long ago on parenting, and the author states that by the ages of 10 to 12, scores of children have already left the home, not in the sense of walking out the door, but in the sense of leaving mom and dad as an authority figure in their lives. Today's parents are part of the 60s generation whose protest movement has challenged the way we think about authority and the rights of the individual. As a result, he says, children no longer sit in neat rows in school. They no longer ask for permission to speak. They no longer fear the consequences of talking back to their parents. They do not accept a submissive role in life. The author goes on to say, how does that have a bearing on parenting? He says the old ways no longer work. The old authoritarian ways, and those weren't always good ways. The old authoritarian ways are ineffective, but we don't know, what he says, any new ways to do the job. That's what he makes the case for in the book, but I think that raises an important challenge for us and how in our days we nurture and raise children, and as they are called to honor their parents, there's to be a beautiful harmony in that relationship that God put in the home. But you know that it's characteristic of the last days. In the last days, perilous times will come. Men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud. And the list goes on to say, a peculiar characteristic of the last days is that children will be disobedient to their parents. Now, I don't know how much worse it could get. I don't know what it could look like in getting a lot worse, but we seem to be living the fulfillment of that time, in that time, where children live in disobedience to their parents. And much of the problem that we're facing in society, much of the breakdown of society that we're experiencing right now, as we see all the complaining and all of the problems, has a direct bearing on the failure in the home. for parents to properly teach and train their children, and children to learn to be submissive to their parents. Now, those are words in our day that make everyone cringe. Those are words that make everyone stop in fright, that we've been scared to use any of this old language. But the reality is we're suffering the consequences because of the breakdown of the home. And that's what I want to consider with you a little bit tonight, to look at the nature of this commandment, its importance for society, its importance for the kingdom of God, and to help you and to encourage you in this great command as parents, but also as children, to honor your parents and the Lord, for this is right. When we were first starting raising children, I went back to my early sermons on this particular, and I was a lot tougher, I think, then. Now that I've raised children, I think I've realized how hard this really is. And it doesn't mean that my stance has changed, but I think you have to have wisdom, obviously, as a parent in growth, and how properly to nurture and train children. So I don't want to leave tonight parents and children without hope. There's a really good message in this and an encouragement in this that we will most surely end on. But I know how difficult that it is, and that we live in difficult times to do this. And I think we need to be constantly challenged afresh as to God's good design, what God put in place at creation, why he set these things in place, why it's so important for there to be proper nurture and care and discipline in the home, and to fulfill our obligations as children and as parents before the Lord. That's the heart of this command. And this is the one command that is attached with what? A promise. So the Lord has something good to say when this is honored to us. And that we begin tonight with the fifth commandment, which of course reads, honor your father and your mother so that you may live long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. It's a commandment dealing with, as you notice, children and parents and all authority structures, as R. Heidelberg said tonight, which was incredibly helpful, that I show love, honor, and faithfulness to my father and mother and all those in authority over me. That's the heart of this commandment. And you stop and say, well, all? What if I don't like the guy in authority over me, right? I mean, this is a challenging commandment, isn't it? We're going to look particularly tonight at the relationship in the home and the relationship between parents and children. And I want to say to the boys and girls tonight, this is probably one of those sermons I should have preached this morning, right? This is what everyone says to me when I walk out. You should have preached that one in the morning. That's when all the boys and girls are really here. But I see some boys and girls here tonight. So this is an important command for you tonight, because the Lord has given you parents who love you and who care for you, and we're not just thinking of the little ones. I think that's why this commandment gets set aside a lot. We're looking at the whole course of life. There's to be a beautiful harmony and a beautiful respect among children and parents. You remember it was the Pharisees who, when their parents were old, had neglected their parents. And Jesus had to deal with their gross hypocrisy in Matthew chapter 15, that they would use their money and claim money to avoid the law which commanded caring for parents in old age. So Jesus clearly understood this as extending to all the years. I remember when I was quite young and needed to be disciplined by my mother. Now this is weird because my mother's in this congregation, so it's a little awkward to talk about these things now, but every time Pastor Gordon was bad, and yeah, that happened, surprisingly, she would always sit me down, and I still can hear it ringing in my ears every time I needed discipline, and I got disciplined. Children, obey your parents, Ephesians 5, in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and your mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you and that you may live long on the earth. I don't know how many times I heard that, but I can tell you it's still, every time I hear it, I can still hear my mom's voice. Still hear it. What we've been doing in the Old Testament is looking at these test cases that demonstrate how holy God is, how much he cares about his law, reflective of his righteousness, of his holiness, of his righteous, good, holy character, and how serious he takes his commandments. I don't know if there's a more important command for our times when we look at domestical life and we look at how structures, the basic building block of society, the family, is given. There's a more important one that needs to be considered at the moment through the whole breakdown of society. The fifth is very important for us to consider. And I want to spend a few minutes here interweaving Deuteronomy and look very simply at the implications of this command for us, so it's not a difficult outline tonight. Notice in Deuteronomy chapter 21... if a man has a stubborn and a rebellious son who will not obey the voice of his father or the voice of his mother, and assumption here, though they do the right thing and they discipline him. Okay. How many of you have all felt when we're talking to sons and daughters that we've come to the point at times where we give up and no longer feel that we can say anything to them because we've been silenced? When they know what they're doing is wrong, and we have sat them down, and we have talked to them. It's one of the great pressures of our day to say nothing, to let it ride, because we're so afraid we're going to lose them. To which you should rightly say, if you have a stubborn and rebellious son, they're already on the path to being lost. This is God's restraining voice in their life. If you have a rebellious son or daughter, and this son or daughter will not listen to the voice, which presupposes speaking, which presupposes involvement, which presupposes active speaking of the truth, which we're going to get to in a minute. And though they discipline this son or daughter, there are consequences to actions. I'm not paying for your college if you're going to go live in sexual immorality. Then his father and mother shall take hold of him, bring him out to the elders of his city at the gate of the place where he lives, and they shall say to the elders of his city, "This our son is stubborn and rebellious. He will not obey our voice. Here's his sins. He's a glutton, sits around and does nothing, lazy, and he's drinking all the time, getting drunk. And we have talked to him, and we have talked to him, and we have talked to him." Then all the men of the city shall stone him to death with stones. You imagine how hard that must have been for parents. "So you shall purge the evil from your midst, and all Israel shall hear and fear." Now, what we're dealing with in this particular case is a kind of rebellion in a child that was harmful to the whole community. Notice we've been emphasizing this this morning, Philippians, with the two women who were fighting in the church, Euodia and Syntyche. This wasn't some isolated fight. It was spoiling the whole work of the church. It was contaminating the church. And the way that the scripture views sin is never some isolated thing you're doing off in the corner. It is never something that is isolated in God's eyes. You are part of a body. You are part of a whole. And we have not learned to think this way yet. It's covenantal when you look at sin. Nothing's isolated, nothing's separated. It's not, "Well, I'm doing something over here and it's really not hurting anyone else." That's a lie of the devil. This is why the Lord wanted evil purged from the body, because somebody's sin was a contaminant to the whole body. So here was this child, he's rebellious in the community, and they were an identity, they were the holy people of the Lord, set apart from the earth. And the ways of sin had broken into the camp, if you will. So this case is that of a son or daughter who has made the choice to deliberately and persistently and callously continue in the sin when they've been warned and warned and warned and warned and disciplined. Now, before we address this, I want to Before I go further with that, I want to notice the connection here to the responsibility of the parents to speak to the child. It's always difficult to understand cases like this because everything comes in a context, and everything has different facets to it, and sometimes challenges to it that are difficult. But in this case, let's assume, as is presented in this particular text, that the parent was doing the due diligence to talk to the child, talk to the teen, talk to the young adult. What was the responsibility? This is the first crucial point, I think, for the fifth commandment, because you can't tell children to honor their parents if there's nothing to honor. What was the responsibility of parents in Israel with regard to their children? It was a covenantal responsibility of parents in Israel with regard to their children to raise them and to train them and to nurture them and to discipline them in the Lord. Right after giving the law in Deuteronomy, you'll remember there's that favorite passage, and this was a big passage for Israel. And they understood the integrity of this and the importance of this, where in Deuteronomy chapter 6, "And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart." I'm just not giving you words that mean nothing. I want you to believe these words. They need to go into the heart. And you shall teach them diligently to your children. And you shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. You know, this is important, isn't it? That, especially when we're noticing in a child's life a pattern of disobedience, pull that child in all the different opportunities that we have. Take them on a drive. And we talk to them. Son or daughter, you're a child of the Lord. Do you know the Lord loves you? We're noticing this pattern in your life that's sinful. And you're not supposed to behave like that. And then to talk about the Lord's good ways and righteousness and truth. This was a solemn responsibility to train and discipline children in the word of the Lord. The word was to be central in the home. Remember the context of this when the Lord gave this. Oh, Israel knew all too well. What was the one thing that when Pharaoh finally gave up and said, "All right, you all can go, Moses, you and the people of Israel. There's just one qualification I have left. Leave your children. Leave them. You know the devil wants your children?" That was the devil speaking. "You guys can go. I'll wipe you out that way. I'll just take your children." That's why they say the church is one generation from extinction. Now, it's God's remedy for this. Parents had to be diligent in training the children in the Lord's ways. And what a benefit of a covenant community. What a benefit of a church. What a benefit of catechism classes and teachers and all this blessing. Teach them when you sit in your house. By the way, it's not just the Christian school. Teach them when you sit in your house. Family worship was important in Israel. We tend to think that worship only occurs when we come together in church. Do we ever sing outside of church? "Make melody in your hearts, one to another. Bless one another," says Ephesians. You know, you can do that for your children. God wanted this to occur in the family. It's clear that the home is designed to be a place for reading the word and prayer, and it leaves a lasting impression on the child. Proverbs 1, "My son, hear the instruction of your father. Do not forsake the law of your mother." For what will be the result of that? They will be a gracious ornament on your head. When a child is taught the Lord's ways and then disobeys, which happens, doesn't it? We all know that. We've all tried it. Notice the passage said tonight, when you've spoken and then when you've disciplined. God calls parents to discipline their children. Think of how much discipline's hated in our culture today. There was a responsibility to use the voice God's given you, a voice box, and to say, "Son or daughter, that's not right." That's God's restraining voice. Did you notice that, boys and girls, tonight? that I be patient. You may say, oh, my parents have done so many things wrong. Well, they have. For by their hand, God wills to rule you. As I said before, the great pressure in our time is to say nothing. And we're doing nothing for our children when we say nothing. Such an important point tonight. The obedience of the child, listen to this, is bound up with the expectation of the parent. You have parents who just want to be a child's friend, that'll be the relationship. You have parents who want to remove boundaries and let them do whatever they want to do, your children will live without boundaries. You have parents who neglect the duty to train and nurture their children, demanding accountability, their whole life will show it. They'll be unruly because you've taught them that. That's the basic thing here. Many ways today, I think parents are afraid of their children. And they're more afraid of them than fearing God. Eli did that, remember? Here are his sons who are priests, drinking and sleeping with the women at the tabernacle door. And what does God say to Eli? You are honoring your sons more than me. So the commandment itself presupposes an active godly involvement of parents in the lives of their children. What a good thing that is. What a healthy thing that is. In Proverbs 13, he who spares the rod hates his son. He who loves him disciplines him promptly. Promptly has the effect of stopping the behavior. Proverbs 23, do not withhold correction from a child. If you beat him with a rod, he's not going to die. You shall beat him with a rod and deliver his soul from hell. By disciplining them, we deliver them. Now, the situation in Deuteronomy is this. The young man who knows better has been trained correctly. He's been trained really well. He's been in the covenant community. He knows the truth. He's received the truth. He's professed faith. His parents have lovingly come and said to him, son, you can't do this. You can't do this. You're a child of the covenant. You can't choose Baal. That's not your choice. God put his covenant sign on you. They had the courage to address their son or daughter. They had the courage to sit down and not make light of it. And that was the responsibility. And it wasn't just, in this case, some careless sin. All children are going to make careless sins. All young adults are going to do careless sins. We're going to make momentary sins. We're going to sometimes maybe some sins that really can wreck life. What we're looking at here is the hard, recalcitrant heart. The rebellious son. The hard son. The son that rolls his eyes and refuses to listen.
I believe we call them black sheep of the family. We'll have more as we continue and pick up where we left off tomorrow in our continuing look at the Ten Commandments, this one specifically, honoring your father and mother. Now, this has been Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon and our time together studying God's Word. It is our hope and prayer you come away from our time together encouraged in that time of study. If you have questions or comments about the radio program, your own walk with Christ, we would love to hear from you. Now, you can reach out to us at our website, agradio.org. Again, that's agradio.org. You'll find past programs that you can review at your convenience, as well as other platforms you can sign up and follow us on, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. Those links are all, again, at our website, agradio.org. You're also welcome to reach out to us by phone. That number is 888-504-8805. That's 888-504-8805. Abounding Grace Radio is a listener-supported ministry. Simply put, you are a vital, important cog in this wheel of ministry, if you will. Through your financial and prayerful support, we are able to continue this radio ministry here on the station you're listening to right now. Would you prayerfully consider getting involved financially, and most importantly, prayerfully? And then let us know. Again, you can give us a call at 888-504-8805 or visit agradio.org and drop us a note there. Well, tomorrow we'll close the week out with one final look at commandment number 5, honoring your father and mother. This has been Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon. Abounding Grace is brought to you on this radio station by Abounding Grace Radio Ministries.
Hi, this is Chris Gordon, pastor of the Escondido United Reformed Church. I'd like to invite you to our Sunday worship services at 9:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. on Sunday. We have two worship services, 9:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. We preach Christ and Him crucified with the goal that you would live in the joy of this comfort in the knowledge of the forgiveness of all of your sins. 1864 North Broadway is the address here in Escondido. We'd love to see you this Sunday.